for reading four passages from Exodus and Numbers, looking at the big white rectangle. If you asked members of the Jewish faith who is the greatest hero in the Bible, I wonder what their replies would be. I suspect that the answer from many would be Moses. And they would have good reason for saying this. The life and actions of Moses occupy a great deal of attention in the Bible, including in the New Testament. For example, Hebrews chapter 11 lists a number of men of faith and what they did, and Moses is included in this list. He is, in fact, a significant character in the book of Hebrews, being mentioned in this book alone at some 10 different times. The Bible tells us that Moses was a man of God, but he had his ups and downs. He was flawed. Many people know the birth of Moses, the story of the birth of Moses, the early days of Moses. Pharaoh had become worried about the growth in population of the people of Israel. He was worried that if war broke out between Egypt and another nation, the Israelites would side with that other nation. So he declared that any boy born to a Hebrew woman should be thrown into the Nile. When he was born, the mother of Moses hid him for 3 months before putting him in a basket, which she placed in the reeds along the banks of the Nile. Not an auspicious start to his life. Although his life improved when Pharaoh's daughter paid his own mother to look after him before taking him in to be her own son, Moses could not forget his own roots. He was still a Hebrew at heart. At some time, some scholars believe it was when he was about 40 years old, others when he was a little younger, Moses ventured out of his cozy environment and went to see what was happening to his people. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew man, and Moses killed the Egyptian and hid his body. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen says, Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in his words and deeds. In his first days with the princess, Moses had several experiences. Firstly, he became a student. The Bible says that he was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. He took courses in Egyptian history, in Egyptian philosophy, and in Egyptian practice. He became a learned Egyptian. He was, no doubt, a good student. Secondly, he was a statesman. The Bible says that Moses became mighty in words. He was able to state his own case. He was able to make a case for himself. He was endowed with powers of oratory. Thirdly, he was a soldier. The Bible says he was mighty in deeds. And if you read the secular history at that time, tradition records the great victories that were gained by the Egyptian armies during that period. During his tenure in Egypt, Moses would have been learned in military training and discipline and patience and quick decision making, and would possibly have travelled to many different parts of the world. It's interesting to wonder what was God's purpose during this time. God had sent him to the enemy so that he could be trained to do what God was going to want him to do when the time was right. By faith, his parents gave him up, and by faith, he went back to Egypt. Notice not only the courage of his parents and the course of his preparation, but notice also the conviction of his heart. Hebrews 11 says, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the approach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked for a reward. Moses had training in military matters, so he would have had no problem in overpowering and killing the Egyptian overseer. But this is not what one might expect from a man of God. We know that Pharaoh heard of the incident and Moses fled the country. That was definitely a down in his life. Life improved again when he met and married Zipporah. God had his plans for Moses just as he has his plans for us, even if his plans for us do not involve us being told to go to the ruler of a country and asking that our people be freed from slavery and allowed to leave that country. But that, of course, is what God asked Moses to do, told Moses to do. When God said to Moses, "I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt," that he wanted Moses to go to the man who wanted to kill him, did Moses say, "I will go right away," or even, "Tell me what to say and I will say it"? No. He said, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? It would be easy for me to stand here and criticize Moses, saying that God had saved his life when he was first born, that God had saved his life when Pharaoh's daughter found him, had given him an easy life, being looked after initially by his own mother, and then being taken in by Pharaoh's daughter. God had appeared to Moses in the burning bush, and it would appear that Moses did recognize that it was God who was talking to him. So Moses must have known that something out of the ordinary was happening. The fact that God had chosen to speak to him should have sent a message to Moses, a message that in some ways Moses was special. It would be easy to say that God had protected him when Pharaoh tried to kill him. But I am standing here never having had my life threatened by anyone, let alone the ruler of a country. Moses came from a population that was in slavery. He did not come from a tribe that was renowned for its fighting ability or for its courage in battle. He was a human, and as a fellow member of the human race, I can understand his reticence, his lack of confidence. He did, however, come from a family that had faith. I've already mentioned one of the actions of the mother of Moses. We read in chapter 11 of Hebrews, "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command." They saw that he was a beautiful child, that he was wonderful. They were not afraid of the king's command. I remember going to church probably a few days after the birth of my first daughter and telling people that my newborn daughter was beautiful. The reaction from many was, "I was only saying that because she was my daughter. But I would have loved her even if she'd looked less beautiful than she was when she was born." On the first Sunday that we took Helen to church, people said words to the effect, "Oh, she is beautiful." Well, I did tell them. The parents of the baby Moses looked at him and knew that God had something special in store for him. The NIV says in Hebrews 11, they saw he was no ordinary child. Acts 7 verse 20 says, at that time Moses was born and he was no ordinary child. Of course, just having faith that God has a purpose for this child was not enough. They had to act on the basis of their faith. At that time, there was no way that the parents could know that Moses was going to grow up and become someone that would, for the rest of time, be known as a great prophet and one of the most important men in the history of the Hebrew people. Some, as I said earlier, might say the greatest man in the Old Testament. This couple were slaves in Egypt. Pharaoh had absolute power in the country, yet Amram and Jochebed, the parents of Moses, were not afraid of the king's command. Looking at their newborn son stirred in them a real faith, and they did act on the basis of that faith. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents. When Mary was told by the angel that she was to have a child who would be called the Son of God, her reaction was, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered, "may your word to me be fulfilled." Mary had faith in God. Jesus was brought up in a family that had faith. Up until the age of 12, Mary and Joseph, particularly Joseph, I guess, taught Jesus the commandments of the law. But at the end of the 12th year of his life, each Jewish boy goes through a ceremony by which he formally takes on the yoke of the law and becomes a bar mitzvah, or son of the commandment. So at the age of 12, Jesus was taken to the temple by his parents for his first visit as an adult. Can be a blessing to have parents who have faith, but it is not a necessary condition in order for one to become a follower of Jesus. The parents of Moses had faith in God, and their faith is evident in their actions. And the time had come when this strength of faith is needed in their son. But that faith was yet to be seen. God told Moses that he was to go back to Egypt and confront Pharaoh. And in many ways, this was one of the down days that Moses suffered. He had fled Egypt, had met and married Zipporah, who had borne him a son. And he had a steady, if not exciting, job tending the sheep of his father-in-law. Now God was threatening to turn his life upside down. When he questioned God, it seems that Moses was not too reassured by God's reply that God would be with him. And the sign that God was giving was one that Moses would only see when the people had left Egypt. For God said, "And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." Of course, this ignores the fact that God is actually speaking directly to Moses, and that surely should have been the only reassurance that Moses needed. What an amazing position to be in, to have God speaking directly to you, and from a bush that was on fire but did not burn up. Moses was full of doubt. When he killed the Egyptian, he had been seen by another Israelite who had not kept it to himself. There was no social media in those days, but rumours, stories can spread very quickly. And the story must have spread very far and wide for it to reach the ears of Pharaoh. So it's possible that the whole nation of Israel had now heard it. God did try to settle the nerves of Moses, telling him what to say to the people, telling him that the elders will listen to him and will accept what he says. But Moses was still not convinced. He was not sure that the elders would believe him and possibly suggest that he was making up the story of being spoken to by God. Can you imagine the imagined conversation? "Okay, Moses, so you managed to escape the wrath of Pharaoh and reach Midian. And by the way, congratulations on your marriage and on the birth of Gershom. But now you're telling us that not only did God speak to you, he did it from a bush that was on fire but did not burn up." Right. Have you any other stories that you can tell us? I do not think that at this time one could accurately describe Moses as a man of God. In the first book of Samuel, we read the story of Eli, the priest, being disturbed one night by Samuel, who thought that Eli had called to him. Eli told Samuel that he had not called to him. This was repeated and repeated again. And when Samuel came to Eli on that third occasion, Eli realized that Samuel was being called by God and told Samuel that that was the case. So it was that when Samuel heard the voice a fourth time, he answered, "Speak, for your servant is listening." What a difference between Samuel and Moses. The first being willing to listen to God and what he was saying to him. The second, not wanting to take on board God's instructions. Of course, the circumstances were different, but Moses had to learn a lot about the relationship that he could have with the Lord. What Moses, in his humble state, presumably could not imagine was the authority with which he would talk to the elders of Israel. When Philip the evangelist was told by an angel to leave his ministry in Samaria and go south to the desert road that led from Jerusalem to Gaza, he did so without argument, not knowing what the Lord had in store for him. Philip encountered the chariot of the Ethiopian eunuch and approached it. When he heard the Ethiopian reading from the book of Isaiah, he asked the man if he understood what he was reading. Philip must have spoken with some authority, for the Ethiopian, this man who had a position of authority in his kingdom, a man who was used to telling people what to do, not used to people coming up to him and asking him if he understood what he was doing, not used to being approached by people, asking if he understood what he read. The Ethiopian answered him. It was that authority that God was going to give to Moses when he approached Pharaoh. God went further to persuade Moses that he had the Lord's support, and he did so by telling Moses to throw his staff onto the ground. When he did so, the staff turned into a snake, from which, quite understandably, Moses ran. Fortunately, Moses had enough faith to follow God's next command, which was to take the snail by the tail, the snake then turning back into a staff. It's easy for us to forget that we have the support of the Lord, to look at the negatives in our life and forget the positives, the blessings that we have received. Looking at Moses and how reluctant he was to face the challenge with which God presented him tells me that it was not so surprising that I too sometimes forget that what God has done for me, what support he has given to me. God also told Moses to put his hand inside his cloak, and he was able to carry out that simple task. When he took his hand out, quote, the skin was leprous. It had become as white as snow. On putting his hand inside his cloak again and taking it out again, Moses discovered that his hand was restored to its original condition. God gave Moses signs to reassure him, and do not forget that God was speaking from a bush that was on fire but not burning up. How much reassurance does a man need? Moses was to become a man of God, but first of all he had to become a servant of God. It is no good saying that we believe in God if we then do not do as he wants us to do. God wanted Moses to carry out an amazing task, and we know that with his brother Aaron by his side, he did go on to confront Pharaoh and to lead the people out of Egypt. Once out of Egypt, God led the people the long way round in the desert to avoid Philistine country in case they were attacked by the Philistines and decided to return to Egypt. So Moses and Aaron embarked on this long journey with a people who, it seemed, did not have the faith of their leaders. Moses now seems to be a real man of God, and he carried out the instructions given to him by God. He was a servant of God, doing what the Lord wanted him to do, telling the people what God had told him, passing on instructions. He seems to have learnt from the experiences of the times when he was supported by God, how he benefited when he put his trust in God. When Moses appeared before Pharaoh and threw his staff on the floor, and the staff again turned to a snake, Pharaoh was not impressed and made the Israelites work harder, making them collect straw themselves for the bricks that they were making. He was no more impressed when the river turned to blood after Moses had thrown his staff into it. On both of those occasions, the magicians in Pharaoh's court simply copied the actions of Moses. Perhaps Moses was beginning to wonder what God was going to do that Pharaoh's magicians could not. Well, he found out when the plague of gnats or lice arrived. Sometimes in our lives, we do not recognize that the power of God is at work. Even when we have at the time recognized that the Lord has been at work, I wonder how many times we have later forgotten those times. Those times when we have benefited because we have trusted God. And how many times when in difficult situations we have forgotten our previous positive experiences. I wonder how many times when things are going well we have ignored God, forgotten what we owe him. Years earlier, God had told Abraham that in the fourth generation after his death, the Israelites would be delivered from Egypt. And Moses was a member of that fourth generation. Moses experienced God working in his life and in the life of the Hebrew nation as they started the journey through the desert. By now, Moses had had approximately 40 years in Egypt and 40 years in Midian, and he was about to spend 40 years in the desert. In those years, Moses listened to God's instructions and followed them, such as the time when the people camped at Rephidim. And God told Moses to take with him some of the elders and strike a particular rock with his staff, an action that resulted in water coming from the rock, ensuring that the Israelites were able to quench their thirst. Unfortunately, later on in the journey, Moses showed that he had his imperfections. Again, there was a time when the Israelites had no water to drink. And again, God issued instructions, clear instructions to Moses. Moses and Aaron were to gather the people in front of a rock. And Moses was to speak to that rock. God told Moses that the rock would then pour out its water. Moses and Aaron gathered the Israelites in front of the rock. But the people had really upset Moses by their constant complaining. And instead of doing as God had instructed him, instead of simply speaking to the rock, Moses lambasted the people. He called them rebels. And although they were rebellious, this is not what God had told Moses to do. Moses then turned to the rock and struck it with his staff. Instead of just speaking to it, instead of following God's instructions, his clear instructions, he allowed his emotions to get better of him instead of just trusting God. This displeased God, resulting in Moses not being allowed to lead the Israelites into the promised land. So we can see that Moses was a great man of God, but he was human. Like us, he had his flaws. We too let our emotions get the better of us. We too often fail to follow God's instructions. But God continued to love Moses, and he continues to love us. When Jesus took Peter, James, and John up a mountain where the disciples saw Christ transfigured, that is, his appearance changed and became glorious, who appeared alongside Christ? Elijah and Moses. Although he did not lead the Israelites into the promised land, certainly Moses entered that land after his death. God does not expect perfection of us, although he does expect us to strive to be perfect. He is a forgiving God and looks at what is in our hearts. Moses was a man of God, a phrase that occurs not only in the Old Testament, but also in the New. Each of us needs to strive to be a man or woman of God, knowing that there will be failures on the way, but knowing that Christ died for our sins, and for that I am extremely grateful. Moses is a wonderful example of how God can use someone, and he has a purpose for us, despite the fact that we too have our flaws. But as Paul wrote in the first letter to Timothy, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. As we're in the period of Lent, we are expected to reflect on our lives. Think about what we have done. Think about what we can do. God did wonderful things with Moses. He did wonderful things with the disciples of Christ, all of whom were sinners. And he can use us in a wonderful way. We just need to listen to him speaking to us and trust, knowing that if we have faith, he will support us, just as he supported Moses, a man who had his flaws, but who was a man of God. It was through the grace of God that Moses entered that promised land, not as a leader of his people at the time of his death, but later. And we are now going to sing the hymn, "Only by grace can we enter." Please rise and sing.